Elections are just 2 weeks away in the primary race for a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat. I'll talk to the candidates starting this hour. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. It's Tuesday, February 5th, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Candidate Ed Filone joins the show this half hour. He's an associate professor of law at Marquette University, and he's running against incumbent Pat Rogensack and attorney Vince Megna. You can join the show with your questions for the candidate at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ed Filone joins us from our studio in Milwaukee. Ed Filone, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Well, you're here interviewing for a job. Let's start off with your qualifications. What makes you qualified to be a Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin?
Rob, I'm qualified because for the last 20 years, I've been a law professor teaching constitutional law, corporate law, criminal law classes. I've been training the next generation of lawyers to appear before our state courts. I've also been a practicing corporate litigator for 25 years, representing businesses and investors in their commercial disputes. I have a broad range of legal experience in areas that are not currently represented on the court, and I think that I can bring a perspective that's currently lacking on the court.
Looking at the Supreme Court in recent years, what would you say are some of the most important decisions or non-decisions you've seen come from the high court?
Well, one of the difficulties in the court in the last few years has been the fact that it is operating dysfunctionally. The justices are engaged in personal feuds and acrimony that has creeped into the quality of its work. And that's important because it undermines the court's ability to speak clearly and with one voice on important issues. So, for example, one important case from 2011 was State versus Forbush, a simple case where the court needed to give some clear guidance to law enforcement in terms of when they can interrogate suspects when their suspect's lawyer is not present. Because the court couldn't agree on a rationale, because they were too busy sniping at each other, they issued fractured opinions, multiple rationales, and as a result, after the opinion, law enforcement had no guidance as to when to conduct or halt an interrogation, and defense counsel had no guidance as to the constitutional protections of their clients. And so this is an important issue that was left unresolved and muddied because the court just can't work together.
Well, is that really an issue that we can blame on incivility, or maybe we just have justices who have very different readings of the law?
Oh, it's absolutely a part of the incivility. Even Justice Michael Gableman has acknowledged the cycle of hostility, recrimination, and ill will plaguing the court. The justices themselves and several former justices, such as Justice Bablich, have bemoaned the incivility and its effect on the quality of the work. It has led to reduced productivity. They're deciding fewer opinions in civil and criminal cases than they used to, and more of these fractured decisions. And so you see the inability of the court to work together leading to decisions that are fractured, that don't give guidance, and that leave the law more muddied than they found it.
So if we come out of April with a Justice Ed Filone, what can you do to help restore civility? It sounds like a tall order for just one new judge out of the seven.
Well, the first thing to recognize is that changing just one personality on a seven-member court changes the entire dynamics of the court. And anyone who has served on a multi-member court has said that when a new justice comes on board, it's an entirely new court. I'm not part of the recriminations. I'm not part of the personal feuding. None of these justices have any reason to bear a grudge against me. And so what I can do is I can, by my conduct, avoid the personal sniping that seems to have infected their opinions, avoid personalizing differences of opinion, and try to build some consensus. Just because I only agree with 80% of my colleagues' writing doesn't mean I should write a whole separate opinion and go on for 10 pages on a separate rationale. There needs to be compromise and consensus. It's important that the court, as much as possible, speak clearly and with one voice.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine, talking to Ed Filone. He's one of the challengers in the race for a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat. Primary election coming up on February 19th. General election Tuesday, April 2nd. By the way, you can follow information about these races at wisconsinvote.org. You could join in with your questions for the candidate at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ed Filone, we see a lot of reporting on the court talking about a 4-3 conservative to liberal split. Is it fair? Is it fair to characterize the justices who are on the court now as a conservative faction and a liberal faction?
Well, I think it's clear that the justices on the court do have some deep philosophical differences of opinion in terms of the way in which a state Supreme Court should function and the role of the state Supreme Court in our constitutional system. Now, whether you can characterize that deep philosophical divide along partisan political lines, I don't know. But I do know that the general public has come to view the court as split on political grounds, and that's not a good thing. The public needs to trust the court and the justices as being independent and as deciding cases based solely on the law and not based on personal or political considerations. And right now, the public sees a court that it doesn't see as independent, and it believes that political considerations are playing a role.
Is the public right to think that?
I think that the conduct of the court is playing into the public's fears. We have a partisan divide in our state that has been reflected in just about every walk of life, unfortunately, and we've seen these disputes again and again, and it seems that we can't move past them and move forward as a state. And it is absolutely crucial that our state Supreme Court not get sucked into that partisan divide, and that the public have confidence in our state Supreme Court as an independent voice that decides cases solely on the law.
Looking at the election and looking what people on the left and the right are writing about it, I think you've made the case for nonpartisanship and trying to rise above the partisan differences. I think a lot of people out there analyzing this see you as a vote on the liberal side of the court. Is that fair?
Well, I don't approach legal issues by picking winners and losers and then rationalizing back to support that result. So it's not about trying to define yourself in advance and then decide cases in accord with some worldview. I absolutely reject that. My approach is simple. You decide each case individually based solely on the law and the facts of that case. I don't have any big idea that I think explains how legal cases should be decided. I reject theories like textualism, intentionalism, whatever theory, because those theories tend to influence judges, and judges then tend to force cases into the box that they've already decided explains the law. I think that's wrong. I think you decide each case individually, and maybe after 20 years, 30 years, you can look back over a career and try and discern any themes. But I think it's a mistake to adopt a philosophy first and then try to pigeonhole cases into that philosophy.
Yesterday, one of the other candidates, a challenger of Mens Magna, challenged you and your opponent, Justice Rogensack, the incumbent, to not accept campaign funds from out-of-state donors. Are you thinking of taking them up on that?
No, I think that Mr. Magna has made a mistake in focusing on the geography of campaign contributions. I don't think that's the problem. I do agree that judicial races have become too expensive in the state, and that the role of money in financing judicial elections is troublesome. And I certainly would support refunding the Impartial Justice Act and trying to diminish the role of big money in judicial races. But it's not a question of geography. It's a question of transparency. As long as this money is involved, and because of U.S. Supreme Court decisions, we currently seem to have no choice but to allow campaign contributions to dominate these races at the moment. If money's going to be involved, the question is not where it comes from. The question is transparency and the donations being disclosed so that the public can see where the money is coming from. That's the key.
One more question on partisanship in the campaign. People have said, hey, Ed Filone has campaign staff who have been associated with Democrats before. Russ Feingold has endorsed you and is calling on people to contribute to your campaign. can you really make the case you're nonpartisan when there's that the Democratic Party affiliation going on there?
Well, I have a broad spectrum of support for my campaign. I have progressive supporters. I have business supporters. Lawyers who are in-house counsel at some of our state's largest corporations have endorsed my campaign. And what I see this broad support as demonstrating is that people recognize that I am an independent thinker. They believe I'll be open-minded. And that's why they're supporting me, not because I have any partisan agenda, but rather because they trust me to take each case individually.
That's Ed Filone. He's associate professor of law at Marquette University. He's running for Wisconsin's Supreme Court with a primary on Tuesday, February 19th. We'll get to your calls at 800-642-1234 in just a couple moments. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today's weather, snowy, highs mainly in the 20s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows all the way down to 10 below zero, in some places to 15 above. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with snow likely later, highs in the mid to upper 20s. Talking to Ed Filone this hour, he's a candidate for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. We'll talk to incumbent Pat Rogensack coming up after 7:30 and the other challenger, Vince Megna, Thursday at 7 o'clock. To the phones now at 800-642-1234. We have Ken in Baraboo. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
What did you want to ask the candidate?
I wanted to ask the candidate what his position was on Chief Justice Prosser choking a fellow employee. Basically, I didn't hear of any discipline being done to it when that particular act would get you terminated in any other place of employment.
Ken's referring to the allegations that Justice Prosser assaulted a fellow justice. A lot of back and forth on that, a lot of accusations and counter-accusations. Ed Filone, what did you make of all that, and do you think Justice Prosser should have been terminated, as Ken thinks?
Well, I think the caller's point is something that has outraged a lot of people in the state, and it's demonstrated the dysfunction of our state Supreme Court and why we need to make a change. We have a physical altercation that took place in the workplace between two justices. Anyone who is involved in a physical altercation in the workplace would reasonably expect that they would have to justify their conduct. The state Supreme Court is the only body in our state that has the power to discipline a sitting Supreme Court justice. And so when the disciplinary proceedings were brought to the court wanted or needed to police itself, to hear Justice Prosser's justification for his actions, to hear the Judicial Commission's arguments for why this was a matter subject to discipline, and to make a decision. And instead, because of the court's dysfunction, because they can't work together, because they've divided into different camps that won't compromise, the court ducked its responsibilities. And Justice Rogensack led the charge, recusing herself, saying that she couldn't hear the case, even though she cited to a statute that does not apply to disciplinary proceedings at all. She allowed the case to fall apart. And so there's no accountability for Justice Prosser. And I think that was a major failing of the court and the perfect example of how its dysfunction is affecting its work.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234 for Supreme Court candidate Ed Filone. Next up is Ray in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
Good morning. I've been listening to what you said all morning here, and I agreed right up until the moment that you mentioned you would accept outside money, and that is an outrage to me as a progressive, as a union worker here, because I feel it was outside money that destroyed the last few elections here in Wisconsin. And for you as a progressive to say you're willing to go that same route, then you're saying it's okay for the Koch brothers to dump money into Wisconsin. And that's no good for anybody. So please, could you clarify how you think outside money makes our internal elections here in Wisconsin better?
Thanks for the call, Ray. Ed Filone?
I don't believe that the levels of money and campaign contributions makes our elections better. I think it allows special interests to play a dominant role in our electoral process, and that's not for the good. And I've been very critical of the U.S. Supreme Court and its decision in the Citizens United case that really opened the floodgates for this sort of special interest money. But the Supreme Court has spoken. They've made a constitutional interpretation. I disagree with their reasoning, but they have spoken. And so that we have to deal with that corporate money, that special interest money, as a fact of life. And I think that as a candidate for office facing a very well-funded incumbent, it is absolutely essential that I comply with the law to the full extent of the law. But let's not get distracted by a debate over campaign funding when the issue before us is our state Supreme Court and why it's dysfunctional and why we no longer have one of the most highly regarded and respected state Supreme Courts in the country, and how can we resolve that and move the court forward in a productive way.
Thanks for the call, Ray. I'm Rob Ferret talking to candidate Ed Filone. He's running for Wisconsin's state Supreme Court. Now, it's tough on these interviews to ask about particular issues because most candidates for courts don't want to say how they'd vote. They want to weigh the cases on their merits. But I want to run a couple of scenarios by you and hear how you would weigh the arguments, if that's possible. First of all, something that's likely to come before the court is a challenge to Wisconsin's voter ID laws. They've been passed. They've been challenged. They're on hold. Likely to come before the court. What kind of things are you looking for? What kind of issues are you weighing if that comes before you as a justice?
Well, the voter ID law is a topic that I have written about, and I have looked at it on both sides, not predicting one outcome or favoring one outcome, but explaining the arguments on both sides. On the one hand, you do have a U.S. Supreme Court precedent that under the federal constitution does permit voter ID laws to be passed by states as long as there's no demonstration of particular disenfranchisement of groups. So that puts the burden on those challenging the law to demonstrate that the law and its operation actually disproportionately prevents certain groups such as the elderly or urban residents from voting, and that requires statistical evidence to be gathered, which can be difficult for the plaintiffs to prevail in a challenge. Now, that's under the federal constitution. There are some arguments under state constitutions, like the Wisconsin state constitution, that are more direct. The Wisconsin state constitution does list the qualifications to be an elector, and having an ID, an identification, is not among those qualifications. So there's a question as to whether or not the list in our state constitution is exclusive, if those are the only qualifications that can be imposed on being a voter and no others. And I think that that's really one of the main arguments that the court will consider if it hears the case.
We had a listener interested in hearing your position on issues related to gay rights that might come before the court. I'm assuming same-sex marriage, things like that.
Well, there is a very strong possibility that the domestic partner registry will come before the court, and whether or not that is incompatible with the Wisconsin Constitution provisions on same-sex marriage. There's currently a case pending where the argument was made that domestic partner registries are prohibited by the state constitution, but the lower court found that they are substantially different. Domestic partner registries are substantially different from marriages in the terms of the rights that go along with that status, and that therefore the prohibition in the state constitution does not apply to the domestic partnership registry. That's an issue that's going to come before the court, and I think it will involve a weighing of the differences and similarities between these two institutions.
We've seen a few times in the last couple of years, especially on controversial legislation, lower court judges putting holds or stays or overruling things passed by the state legislature, saying they conflict with the Constitution in one way or another. There have been accusations then that this amounts to judicial activism. Something like this will probably come before the next Supreme Court. How do you weigh the actions taken by the legislature and signed by the governor, and how aggressive should lower court judges be in overturning what the elected officials have done?
Well, the role of the courts in our state is to be an independent check and balance on the two political branches. That's why we have three co-equal branches of government under our state constitution. We have two political branches that can reflect the will of the majority, and they should reflect the will of the majority. But you don't want the political branches, just because they have majority support, to pass laws that violate the rights protected under our state constitution. And it is the role of the courts to be the independent check and balance. So you can't have an independent court system without occasionally finding those disputes between the judges and the political branches. That's their job.
And a related follow-up, not enough time to take a caller, but Greg in Madison wants to know how you feel about Act 10, one of those cases where we've seen conflict between legislature and lower court judges.
Well, I mean, how I feel about the law is irrelevant. The question is whether or not the law violates the rights protected in the Constitution, and that is something that is subject to litigation, and I absolutely should not take a position on that because I will be open-minded and listen to both sides before ruling.
About 30 seconds left. Make a closing case for why people should vote for you on the February 19th primary.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court plays a vital role. It has to be an independent check on the two political branches. We have a tradition of independence, quality, and professionalism on the court. Great justices in the past, like Nate Heffernan, Jeanine Geske, who were not afraid of the political consequences of their rulings. I would be a justice in that line. I will solve the dysfunction and decide cases based on the law and not personal considerations.
Ed Filone, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That was Ed Filone. He's a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. He is Associate Professor of Law at Marquette University. Stick around. We'll talk to the incumbent in this race, Pat Rogensack, coming up after the news. Then on Thursday morning at 7, the other challenger, attorney Vince Megna, will join the show. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.